At first glance, this does not look like a Christmas text, does it? But it is. It is in the lectionary. And all over the world on this day, there are Christians who are actually reading this text. I want to talk today to you about Mark 13, these verses 24 to 37, but join with me in prayer. Lord God, this morning, we welcome your presence. And we pray that our hearts will receive the message and that we will walk away changed. Because every time we come into a church, we must be changed by encountering your word and the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Every year we hear the words about the coming of Jesus, the Advent, the Christmas story. This season is called Advent, and it's a special time for Christians everywhere. It's a beautiful and humble time, and there are so many ways that this season is remembered by Christians all around the world. They celebrate in many ways. Some Christians celebrate in December. The Eastern Church celebrates in January. There are many reasons that people celebrate Advent. You can move on with the slide. A lot of different traditions exist. Some good, some strange, some not so good. Some not even a part of the biblical story. We have Snoopy. He's a part of Christmas for some people. We also have the Grinch. Who knows the Grinch? Children know the Grinch. We also have movies that are Christmas movies. Some people think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Some, It's a Wonderful Life. Some people think about Donald Duck, not Donald Trump, Donald Duck. And Scrooge is related to Christmas. We have this fusion of cultures. We have the Christian message of Advent, and we also have these other kinds of cultural things. For example, Santa Claus. Santa is not found with baby Jesus in the manger, but Santa is a tradition in our churches. In many places around the world. Even though Santa in America really started because of Madison Avenue and marketing advertising, Germany has St. Nicholas, and many nations celebrate Santa. You know, one of the interesting things about China is that China has a unique take on Santa. In China, Santa is with a saxophone. Did you know that? How many of you have seen Santa with a saxophone in China? It's very popular. There have been articles written about this, where Westerners have gone to China and they see Santa and the saxophone and they say, what's going on? But not only that, there are many Santas around the world. There are also meetings of Santas. Here's a picture of a lot of Santas. There's also another picture in the West of Santas. Some of you may even be Santas. We have this, almost like these two paths, two highways, a secular Christmas and a Christmas that is rooted in the Christian tradition. And in the secular tradition, you have many things that are fun. You have sleighs and reindeers and socks and chimneys and coal and gingerbread men and eggnog and Christmas trees and ornaments. All kinds of things that are fun. And then you also have all kinds of other things that relate to the Christian message of Advent. Two storylines, two directions. We have gift giving. You know, I personally, my wife and I, we don't give gifts to each other much. In fact, I've kind of grown tired of gifts. I can't fit gifts in my garage anymore. So I like to give. I like to give to others. Giving is important, But I know today a lot of parents feel obligated to give $1,000 of gifts to their children. Their child says, I want an iPhone. How many of you all have a child that has an iPhone? Don't answer that question. How much is an iPhone? $1,000. So a lot of parents feel sad because they don't buy their iPhone for their child. Let me tell you something. Now, you can buy an iPhone for your pastor. But you don't have to buy an iPhone for your child. You tell your child no. It is okay to tell children no. In fact, that is a part of good parenting. Children need to hear the word no sometimes. Any children in the audience? I'm safe. But please don't misunderstand me here. I don't want to speak negatively of Christmas because I enjoy celebration. I enjoy having fun. I know some Christians who, when they see something that they don't like in the secular Christmas, they criticize and they say, that's not from God. They do this with all kinds of celebrations. But I will tell you that there are many non-Christians, the only joy they have in life is Christmas, is the celebration. And so as a Christian, I don't want to criticize them. I want to love them, and I will give them a present, and I'll be kind to them, and I won't tear down the message of Christmas, Santa. I won't tear my Santa down, even though I know the truth about Santa. But this man, Jack Hayford, wrote a very interesting article that I like. It's called Recovering the Lost Art of Celebrating. We as Christians, we should be able to celebrate with other people. We should not step aside and let them celebrate by themselves. We should be able to share joy with them. And then, at the same time, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the story of Christ. Because I will tell you, you have two roads here that we're watching of Christmas. You have a secular road, and you have the Christian tradition, the Christian road. Life and peace and joy really comes from the Christian road. The other road, as years go by, it becomes a little empty because it's marketing, it's advertising, and it's companies making money off of you. You buy what they want. That's okay for a time, but eventually people are going to ask the question, what is Christmas all about? And if you are in their lives, you will be able to tell them, you know, the message of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ. And the door is open for you to talk to them. In my experience, if you beat people over the head with the Bible, they don't often follow you. So friends, in this Christian Advent, there is hope for those who do not know Jesus. There is hope for those trapped in sin. There is hope for those blinded by this world, those abused, those demoralized, those exploited, the alone. Christ the Savior has come. And this is what we as Christians have in this message. I'm going to read a text here from 2 Peter. Peter, by the way, knew Mark. And Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:3. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This advent of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, is about hope. It's about a living hope. It's about the hope that we have as we follow Jesus Christ. Now, this word Advent that we use in Christianity actually comes from the Latin word Adventus. And it comes from a Greek word called parousia. And what that means, those words mean the presence, the coming of Christ. Now, as Christians, the idea of Advent is a three-part idea. Advent is not only about the Christmas time in December. For Christians, Advent has to do with the coming of Christ in three different ways. He comes as the baby. He comes as the Christ child in the flesh. Bethlehem, born, incarnate Son of God, the Messiah. But Christians also believe that Christ comes into our hearts through faith and through daily encounter. So that's another aspect of Advent. And the third aspect of Advent, which is important, is the Advent at the end of time. That Christ will come at the end of time. There is a second coming. Christians celebrate these three kinds of Advent. They are all important. So the scripture that we read this morning, the first part of the scripture comes from Mark chapter 13, 24 to 27. And my first point is this from the text that we've read. In Advent, we have hope in all circumstances of life. The Advent, the coming of Christ as the child, as he comes into our hearts, and in the future, the eschaton, the parousia, the Advent, that gives us hope in life. And let me read this scripture. This is a powerful scripture, and this is a very hard scripture. When you look to try to understand the scripture, many Christians have said many things about this scripture. And I'm not going to come to you with an answer, but I'm going to come to you to tell you that this scripture is powerful and points us to the future as Christians. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Poetic, pointing to the end of time. This is a time when something special will happen, and that something special is the coming of Christ at the end of time. Verse 26, at that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This is also another difficult text to understand. But Jesus had said these words. And many Christians throughout history have believed that this is talking about the second coming, the return of Christ. And it seems that it's that way. But some Christians will also tell you that they think that there's another way to interpret this. They think that this is also the time when Jesus ascended to heaven and he sent angels out, messengers, to the four winds to communicate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in the Bible, the word messenger and angel are the same thing. And so there's kind of two perspectives on this scripture that Christians have tried to understand, because it is difficult. Pastor, it is a difficult scripture, isn't it? It is very difficult. Regardless, though, this scripture assures us that God is in control. Even if the sun is darkened and the stars seem to fall, God is in control and faithful, and he will return. One day, he is coming, and we can say, come, Lord Jesus. The second point here is that Advent is a firm promise from God to us. Advent is a promise. And let me read verses 28 to 31. And Jesus is talking here. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Another difficult text to understand. Jesus talks about the fig trees, common in Palestine. And when the figs begin to blossom, you know the time is coming. Christians have struggled with this verse. And I would say that most scholars, when they look at this verse, they say that Jesus is talking about the year 70 AD. He's talking about a terrible year where the Roman Empire came and destroyed the temple. And yet, these last verses are important. And he says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We live in this world today where we see all kinds of ways that the Advent is celebrated. Many ways. In every culture. And many of you have received gifts. How many of you receive gifts for Christmas? I'm curious. Most of you, right? Do you know what you got 2 years ago? Anybody? Anybody? I don't know what I got 2 years ago. I don't know what I got 30 years ago. I forgot them all. I think at this time we need to understand, even though we live in this Christmas Advent time, what really matters is the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, into our hearts, and his return one day. That is the most important message of Advent. We can receive presents. We all like presents. But in truth, we don't remember what they are. As years go by, we forget. And thirdly, Advent, it is a surprise. So watch. Mark 13, 32 to 37. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. I find it very interesting in this scripture that the watchman is paying attention to a certain time of day. When is it? Evening, midnight, dawn. That's kind of interesting. Not at noon, not at four. So Jesus is trying to say, you need to understand, you have to be ready. Because he could come back at any time at all. And as Christians, we're called to watch. Now, in history, there are Christians that have misused this scripture. There are Christians who have said, oh, I'm going to guess when Jesus is going to come back. And there are many Christians that have done this. People follow the blood moons. Have you heard that before? They won't tell you when Jesus is going to come back. There are many Christians that have made false prophecies in history. There are people that say, oh, well, the Bible here says that you don't know the day or the hour, but I know the year. They don't know what they're talking about, because the whole message here that Jesus is communicating is that nobody knows. The most important message here is you have to watch. You have to be ready. How many of you here have been doctors or in the military or have been a medical person that has to work at night? You're on watch. You're on guard. A lot of you have had jobs like this. I remember when I was in the Army many years ago, when I was 18, I went to basic training. And my first night, they told me, you are on fire guard. So you wake up at 3 a.m. and you stand for 1 hour. And if there's a fire, you let everybody know. Okay? Which is kind of funny. But no fire came. Nothing happened. And that's what being watch on watch is like. It's called to be faithful and be at the right place morally, spiritually, because you don't know when Jesus is going to come back. It's calling us to be faithful where we are at that time. It's like being a doctor on emergency call. If you're a doctor on emergency call, how many of them sleep? A lot of them sleep because nothing's happening. And then in the middle of the night, they get a phone call. Doctor, we need you to be there. And you wake up and you go. But what would happen if the doctor decided to go to Disneyland and disappear? There would be a problem, wouldn't there? So Jesus is here telling us that we should be ready and we should watch, because one day he will come back. We need to be faithful. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. That's the message today that I want to leave with you. Christians, I encourage you to live the life of Jesus Christ. Be on watch. Be faithful. Watch your heart. Don't be bitter and evil. Think good of others. Read your scripture. Pray to God. Be a faithful Christian. Be on watch. That is my message today. This morning we've heard about the Advent, that it's important to Christians. We've also heard that there are many themes in our culture, and sometimes it's confusing. We have these themes of Western secular Christmas, and it's a fun thing, but we also have the message of Jesus Christ, the Advent, the parousia, that Jesus has come into our world. And that is the message that we hold on to, because that is the message that will take us through life. These other messages, they're fun, they're interesting, but when you get old, they get a little boring. But the message of Jesus Christ keeps you excited and alive from life to life until death, because you have an encounter with the living God who has come to give a living hope. Is that living hope yours this morning? Is the living hope yours? I ask you over this week and over the next few weeks as we celebrate Advent to think about where you are in respect to the living hope of Jesus Christ. Watch. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your people. Thank you, O God, that we are in relationship with you. Not only have you come as a child into this earth as the incarnate Son of God, but you also come into our hearts as we open our hearts up to you. And we also live with this promise that you will come again. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.